was Pastor Bruce asked me to speak, I was thinking, and I came across the question that I had. Why the church? Why do we have the church? You know, that's a good question, isn't it? Well, I came up with seven reasons. I stopped at seven because why? What's significant about the number seven? The perfect number. So I stopped at number seven. Now, the first two that I came up with we'll go over rather quickly because I think we pretty much all know the first two. We'll get in a little bit deeper as we get down through. But the first reason I came up with is to come to worship together. You know, isn't there just something amazing when our voices are all lifted up in song? Bruce asked me, what song would you like to hear? He should have not even had to ask. 495, the King is coming. And there's something when we're lifting up our voices together to praise God. Just, it brings all of our hearts together, doesn't it? One voice. I said, when I was previously with the Worldwide Church of God, quite a few years ago, we celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were people all over the world together in different places, from as far away as you can get to many places in the United States. And every year at that time, it may be 3 o'clock in the morning someplace, it may be noon someplace else, they all came together through a satellite broadcast and sang all the hymns together. To know that all those people all over the world are singing the exact same time everyone else is, just an incredible feeling. Incredible. Well, reason number two. To come to church, be fed, and to grow. I want you all to remember, now for some people like Francis, this is going to be a stretch for the memory. I have to pick on Francis. I do every Sunday at Brush Street. Remember back when you were baptized. Does everybody remember that? What were you when you came out of the water of the baptism? You were clean. You were an infant in Christ, weren't you? You were an infant. An infant has to be fed. Has to be nurtured, doesn't it? To grow. To grow and become strong. It's no different when we come to church. We come to church to get our spiritual nourishment. So that we can grow into stronger Christians. So that we can grow into what God would have for us. What is that we grow into? We're supposed to grow into fullness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the model. Well, we're going into reason number three now. Reason number three is we come to church to be nurtured and to nurture. We come to church to be cared for, don't we? Do we not come to church to be cared for? Sure we do. You know, if you don't feel cared for, if you don't feel fed, guess what? You're not going to be here long, are you? I know I wouldn't. If you didn't feel wanted somewhere, would you want to stay around there? Absolutely not. We come to church to be nurtured and to nurture. Come with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. This is how Paul thought of the church. He says, but we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Now, how does a nursing mother care for a child? Very, very gently, don't they? How about the father? I know I'm a perfect example. Both of my daughters, one was 4 pounds, 6 ounces. The other one was 4 pounds, 8 even. My youngest daughter, Erin, you wouldn't know it now, but I have a picture where she could not get her hand when she was born around my little finger. And here's Daddy, these big hands. What am I going to do with this little tiny, am I going to break it? And it's crying, baby's crying, the father's always like holding it out there, maybe the baby thinks it's going to fall. And then along comes Grandma. That's Grandma here. She takes that child, comforts it. All of a sudden, the baby stops crying. Because it feels that comfort. That, I don't know that. What's the word I'm looking for? That closeness. That security. You feel that. You know, when my grandmother, she was 86 years old. She came up with my parents from Florida. And my youngest, my grandmother could barely walk at this time. She was in pretty bad shape. She took that little 4-pound baby and held it right to her chest. And she was crying and crying. That's one memory that I've always cherished about my grandmother. And I even brought that out when I did her funeral. Maybe just not too many years ago. But you know, in God's church, you should expect to be cared for. You should expect to be nourished. When you're sick, you should expect to be visited. If not by the pastor, by each other. When you're hurting, when you're discouraged, you should be comforted. You know, and it's not a one-way street. You come to church to help others as well. You know, it's not, can't be me, 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 me. You have to give as well. You have to help others. Because God said, with the same way that you've been comforted, also comfort. It's not a one-way street. So we come to church so that we can feel nurtured, loved, cared about. Because you know what? It's a cruel, hard world out there, isn't it? You see that every single day. All you have to do is pick up a newspaper, turn on the television. Not a nice place anymore. Well, reason number 4. To come to church. Fellowship. Now, fellowship. What does that mean? Hi, Kent. How you doing? Hi, Cheryl. How you doing? Hi, everybody. How you doing? That's not fellowship. Not at all. Fellowship is sharing your life with another person. Sharing your hopes. Sharing your dreams. Sharing what's been going on in your life. You know, I would 10 times rather talk with 3 or 4 or 5 people intimately and go along saying, hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing? Did I just fellowship? No, I grieved. Didn't fellowship. But you know, it also carries something with that. When you fellowship with someone, you have to have the assurance that what you've discussed will remain in presence. Unless the other person says that you can agree with that. So we have come to church to fellowship with one another. And that's made possible. How? Made possible through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. You know what brings us together? Is guess what? Every single person in this room, we're on the same road, aren't we? We're on the road to eternal life. We're all going down that same road. What brings us together is we have the same Savior, the man Christ Jesus. We also have the same Heavenly Father, don't we? And it's almost like when we meet some people that maybe we haven't seen for a long time, or meet someone new in the faith. That's what's such a joy about the theological conference. Is when you meet someone new like that, it's almost like if you were adopted and found your father years and years later and find out you have 3 or 4 or 5 new brothers and sisters. So, wow, you're my brother? Yeah. No difference. It's no difference. You know, we come to fellowship, and it's made possible because we're all on the same road. Do we come from the same background? We don't. Most of us. We've got city folk and country folk in this room together right now. Look at Todd. He's about as country as you can get. I'm right there with you right now. We don't come from the same background. We're all sitting in the same room. I had 2 pastors in Florida. I'll never, ever in my life forget the story that one of them told. They had a split service on the Sunday morning. One was a Jew. One was an Arab. They both came to the faith. But they had a split service. And they made a big, big joke about it because they had 2 sermons pretty much back to back. And they were talking about, you know, here we have a Jew giving a sermon here and an Arab giving a sermon here. And we both get along just wonderful. They were both pastors in the Worldwide Church of God. He said, yeah, our offices are even right across the hall from each other. He said, of course, Mr. Shia, the Arab descent, that I've got my missiles pointing at his office and he's got his planes pointing at mine. So, but other than that, we get along great. you know, it's just absolutely wonderful to fellowship together. You know, I've rushed it many times. Half hour, 45 minutes after the service, everybody's still standing around talking. That's fellowship. That's having a genuine interest in what's going on in somebody's life. You know, we're not all from the same background. We don't do the same things for a living. But when we come to the church, we can be one. We can learn about each other. You know, I was thinking about this. Brother Kent brought it out in the theological conference. What happened to the days when we used to talk to one another about the sermon that was given? Or what we've been studying the past week in the Bible? Deep theological conversations. How many of you remember those days when you were younger? Especially you older ones. How many of you remember talking about the sermon after the pastor gave it? And wow, you know, what about this? And, you know, what about this? Going, pulling your Bible out. What happened to those days? What happened to those days? No. We need to look at what we're accomplishing with our fellowship. We can fellowship because, let's look at the last part of verse 3 here. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's who makes it possible. In verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. God is light. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. We say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. Why say, oh, I know God, but I don't walk with Him? I'm a liar, aren't I? Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, if we're all walking in the light, and I go over here to the darkness, I don't have fellowship with you anymore. The people who are walking in the darkness, they have a difficult time really relating to those who are in the light. It's too hard for them. It's too condemning for them. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. So we come to church to fellowship with one another. Point number 5. And this is one I think we miss far too often. We come to church to do the work. We come to church to do a work. Both collectively and individually. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. We have the responsibility to let that light shine that's in us. That light that we absorb from Jesus. And the Holy Spirit enables that light to shine. Matthew 5, starting in verse 14, says, if you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. That's our individual responsibility. As we walk out those doors into the world, we're to let our light shine brightly. But we also come to church so that we can do the work together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. See, we have a job to do together. If each one of us is out there trying to do our own thing, how much can we accomplish? Not much. But collectively. Collectively, if we pool our resources, how much can we accomplish? A lot. You know, we come to church so we can learn how to be better Christians. Because when Jesus Christ left, He left a commission, didn't He? We, you and I, carry on His work. We need to take that commission seriously. Reason number 6. We come to church. Prepare for eternal life God. Amen. You come to church to prepare for eternal life in the kingdom of God. You know, I said this morning at Rush Street. I want to see each and every one of you in God's kingdom more than anything. When Christ comes, I want to come up to you again and say, we made it. We made it. You look around. Look in each other's faces. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to know that they made it? You know, as Paul said, that's my joy. He said, what crown do I have? My crown is seeing all your faces in the kingdom of God. Come to church. But we can help you. We can point you in that direction. Remind you of it. Keep reminding you of it. Remind you of God's plan in your life. That we can all be there. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Start in the sun here. When we get our glorious bodies, whatever they may be, they're going to be perfect. We know that. We're going to have work to do. You realize that God has promised us to be kings and priests in His kingdom? Kings and priests. And we will reign with Christ on this earth. To turn this earth back into what God intended for it in the first place. Perfection. And we can't even, with our little tiny minds, we can't even imagine how great that's going to be. I've said it many times, you know, I want you to think of the most perfect earth that you can think of. You know what? You're not even close. You're not even close. Our minds can't even begin to understand the things that God has for us. We can't even begin to understand. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 1. I used this morning. One of my favorite scriptures. It's really a shock for me. Because when I read, especially verse 2, the charge that God has given me, starting in verse 1, he said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing and kingdom, preach the word. We come to church. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Why? Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People won't care. Doctrine doesn't matter. No. We can do whatever we want. We can make whatever doctrine we want. Doesn't matter. Spoke this morning about Angela Moore's faith story. Did you happen to hear that thing? Talk to Angela about doctrine. See what she has to say. You know, people say, I heard just the other night, half of the community says, we're just as good as Paul. We've got the Holy Spirit. We're just as good as those apostles. We can decide what's good for us, for our own selves. That's the line people are being sold. He goes on. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They say, well, our ears, well, they're kind of itching a little bit to hear something different. We don't want to hear that boring doctrine. You know that doctrine of the kingdom? That saving doctrine? Wow. Kind of changes when you throw that word saving in front of it, doesn't it? Sure does. Saving doctrine. Remember what the last one was? I want to see each and every one of you in the kingdom of God. You need that saving doctrine to get there. Got to have it. Verse 4. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and my time of departure has come. I have fought the good fight and kept the faith. Notice what Paul was doing. What faith is that? Kent, Jude, 3. Go ahead and tell me. Once and for all, handed down to the saints. Gospel message has been the same 2,000 years. Hasn't changed at all. Jesus has it. Verse 8. Then the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, but also all who love. What it's all about. To point you to the kingdom of God. To lift you up. To help you to see that vision over all of the toil and all of the destruction of this world. To lift you up to see God's kingdom. Through all the fog, through all the mist. It brings us to the last point. Point number 7. You come to church because you've been issued a summons. You know you were summoned to be here? It's no different than if somebody showed up on your doorstep on Saturday night and said, handed you a piece of paper and said, you're to report to church on Sunday morning. There's something to do. Now what can you do with that piece of paper? You can tear it up like this and throw it in the trash, can't you? Well, you'd say, oh, you know, I'm having problems. I'm having some emotional problems. This is going on in my life. I'm just going to stay home. You know, I don't know. I just got these problems. You don't need to be at home. You need to be with God's people. They will help you through your problems. You need to be with people who can encourage you, to strengthen you. Not at home, where what are you going to do? You know, sit in a chair and just dwell on those problems, aren't you? Get up and go to church. Maybe. Just maybe. You'll hear something. It'll make you think, wow. You know, I've given many sermons in the last 6 years, and some of them, as I sat down and wrote this sermon, I said, God, where in the world are you taking me here? And it'll end up not even resembling what I originally claimed. And I'll give the sermon, and I won't really care for it. Even if after I give it, I won't care for it. And I'll come back to the back reading people, and without a doubt, somebody will come up and hug me and say, I really need to hear that. Amazing what happens when you get out of the way. Let God work. Really is. We don't need any plans to church growth. We don't need to read any books. We need to get out of the way and let God work. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You summon people. You are summoned. Praise God. Well, that's the seven reasons. To worship God together. To be fed and to grow. To be nurtured and to nurture. We go to fellowship. We go to be home. Do a work. We go to prepare for eternal life in God's kingdom. We go because God has summoned us to be here. I'm going to close with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Before we do, I want to make a brief comment. How many of you remember Pastor Teddy Roosevelt? Have read about him? President. It's been a long day. President Teddy Roosevelt. Ah, there we go. President Teddy Roosevelt would never miss a Sunday. Ever. He had to go overseas. And he wrote his pastor a letter. This is the President of the United States. Wrote his pastor a letter. Think, I won't be at church Sunday. I've got to be overseas. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together. That word, assembling and together, the same word. It means going to church. It means assembling together. Assembling. God says that we must come together. We must assemble. He says, encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. As we look around this world in turmoil, and we see the day of our Lord is coming, not far off in the distance. It's not together. My prayer, the chapel here, in this day, is that you'll remain strong. Strong in that faith. Once and for all, delivered in the saints. I pray that the Lord should carry. You'll have many, many more wonderful celebrations just like this. Praise God and thank you for allowing me to be here.